You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What's that fragrance you're wearing?
Exclamation! Make a statement! Without saying a word!
It is December 1988. You're on Christmas break, which should be called The Abyss, because it's too many weeks away from your entire world that matters. How will you even regain your barely there status just outside Four Corners, the intersection at school where all the cool kids hang out? You know who else is barely there? Your secret admirer, who did not appear at 7:30 at the town mall food court. Or at least, nobody came up to you and said, ta-da, or hi, or you're the one, you've always been the one, I can't pretend anymore, or any of those things you expected to hear. Was it a joke? Or is someone kind enough to have the patience for persimmons but too shy to tell you how he truly... No, this is crazy making. There's no such thing as secret admirers, and just stop with this before you find out the cookies were from your Uncle Greg, who your mom says you're not supposed to hang out with when she's not around. So... you're just alone in your room until further notice, dealing with the weather this town always gets this time of year. And it's not that you're ruminating, but you are sitting in front of your dual-deck cassette player, rewind, stop playing, I'll Be There For You by Bon Jovi, a band you don't even like with a song you thought you've loved, but now that you've spent half an hour deciphering the lyrics of this version you taped from the radio, you realize this is a song about a guy trying to get back with his girlfriend after he didn't go to her birthday party for some reason he doesn't even offer. It doesn't say sorry in the song. Just like, hey, here's a list of things I'd like to do for you, but if you read closely, they aren't things humans are capable of doing. I become wine, steal the sun, become global warming. This isn't a song about being there for someone. It's a song about wishing you were the kind of person who would be there for someone, which is a lot like when people tell you the gift they were going to give you, but then they didn't for some reason. That sounds mostly like apathy, but they want some sort of partial credit in your heart bank anyway. What the fuck? Oh my God. New Year's resolution. Fewer credit. Crushes, maybe no crushes. In fact, the only thing you're gonna crush next year is next year, 1989. That's the year you're gonna become your true self, your real Groovox self. But for now, you'll just sit here and wait out the remaining days. Maybe call a couple of friends so you don't get lonely. Ooh, maybe they could spend the night. Oh my gosh, we could drink hot chocolate and take quizzes and finally free someone's bra. We're definitely old enough to do that now. You better make this black and white striped bedroom look cash and hinting towards your 89 awesome self by dropping a magazine with a perfect cover on the floor by your bed, because you know what time it is. That's right, it's time to...
Listen to Sassy!
So much going on with this person. I felt like your last slumber party story got pretty epic. So you gotta go big when it's storyteller time.
Hey, speaking about going big, I have some news for everybody out there in Listen to Sassy Land, and that is our holiday club drive. We are closing in on our first stretch goal. And we thought, well, let's just make that happen before Christmas. That would be swell. So here is what we're doing. If we can reach our first stretch goal, that is $1,000, by the end of November in our present time, not Sassy time, it's always confusing. I always have to take a moment. If we can reach that first stretch goal by the end of November, we are going to set our first watch along for those weird nothing days between Christmas and New Year's, where time has no meaning, where life is just picking up little piles of Christmas detritus and moving them to a different spot in the house before somebody just gets fed up and throws the whole thing in the garbage, including one thing you really wanted to keep. What's that thing going to be? We don't know yet. We're probably going to ask for your input. Maybe it's another Rob Lowe, Rob Lowing with his young self. Maybe it's The Outsiders, which apparently I have to see. We'll figure it out with your input, dear Patreon supporters. Now, to sweeten the pot, if we can hit that goal again before the end of November, and we're pretty close, you will get a special year-end drunk episode of Listen to Sassy for your listening delight. Can I hold my liquor for more than 10 minutes? No, I can't. So if you want to get in on all that action, plus all the existing perks, the reference scans, the sassy chat on the Discord, early episode access, which is a new perk, as soon as I've done with the episode, it gets to your feed. Ad-free episodes with chapter markers, merch discounts, and giveaways, including, I think, coming soon, a new sticker. Is that your stomach? Sticker.
Yeah.
All that. Yeah. All that. Plus a drunk episode if we could reach our first stretch goal. Please, if you're at all interested, visit listentosassy.com/club or check the show notes in your links for all the information.
Let's get into the quiz.
How honest are you? Asks this month quiz. And as always, we will highlight one question we were particularly interested in. And our first stop there is Pam.
Question number two. First of all, there's just too many jokes about whether or not we took this quiz honestly. So we'll skip them all. Let's get credit for them. Okay. You agree to meet an ex-boyfriend for a movie, even though you're not interested in him anymore. You, A, tell your new boyfriend about the date. B, tell your new boyfriend you're going out with some friends. C, don't mention it to your boyfriend. Just hope he never finds out. I just want to say, these are all good ideas.
Well, you mean like strategically? Because that's how I ran into this question. Like, is a lot of my answers were like, what's the least grief for David T. Cole? Not what's the best thing. And I tried to put myself more in the, usually when I answer it as 2021 Dave, not as 1988 mm-hmm. Dave. But this time I tried to get into the mindset, which is very similar to my mindset today, which is the path of least resistance? Although, mm-hmm. And this one had two reasons why I picked don't tell him about it. Because one, it's really none of his business when it comes down to it. If you want to do it, go ahead and do it. There's nothing going on. So, you know what I mean? So,
right.
But also, then you don't have to bring it up. That's really the main part, is now I don't have to bring it up, have that conflict, have that conversation. It's just something that never happened as far as he's concerned.
That's fine until someone spots you there and then they tell him and then you're
that would never
there.
Happen. Never in the history has that ever happened where somebody, something happened with somebody at a cinema.
That's why I go to two dates on one restaurant forever. That's David T. Cole's method. I eat one meal on this side, I dress up like a woman and eat a meal on the other side.
Applebee's and movies on Tuesdays when it's cheap.
Yeah, I mean, the key thing here is even though you aren't interested in him anymore, it even says it right there, like, we have no problems here, so is there a problem?
Right.
There's no problem.
Right.
And this is all honest. You can tell him. You could tell him you're going out with some friends that maybe that's a slight lie. And then don't mention it is also, you just didn't mention it. But I do think I couldn't handle that one.
Tara, you were aghast when I said don't tell him. Why is that?
If you're in a relationship when you're in high school, like, honestly, who cares? But in general, transparency in a relationship is important. And if you don't tell him and then he finds out, he's going to think something was happening because you didn't tell him.
I agree, but this is teenage brain.
Right.
It's just like everything is a powder keg for drama. And this is like, feels like one of the bigger ones. This is the big Bugs Bunny slow fuse.
Number one, yeah, A feels like you want to be starting something. And you're like, oh, by the way, I have a date. It even says the date, where you're like, just letting you know, new boyfriend.
Well, that's the thing. So to follow your logic of like, you know, it's a powder keg for drama, I agree. And that's the whole premise of this question is, this guy you used to date has asked you to go to a movie with him, no mention of anyone else going, like with him and some friends or whatever. Like, if you're not interested in him anymore, why are you going? And if your current boyfriend knows that you're still platonic friends, then there's no problem. Just tell him.
Well, you got me there with your legal mumbo jumbo.
I'm just saying. I think that, like, what actually happens on this is that he wants to get back together. That's why he asked you out. Like, whether you're interested in him or not. And if you're not interested in him, don't go because the downside is too great.
Maybe he just likes popcorn and he just doesn't like eating alone.
Maybe
you had made plans to see this movie a long time ago. And so maybe. This is like one of your old
maybe
plans.
Maybe it's Beetlejuice.
And you know. Yeah, maybe it's Beetlejuice. And when you go, one more time, when you go, say it, Tara, that's when he's going to tell you how sorry he is about the way that he treated you.
Right.
And if you don't go to that, you never get the apology you deserve.
Yeah.
That's on you. You didn't let him give
he's
you.
He's not going to apologize for shit.
I
we
know.
We all know it.
he ain't going to email you. I know.
All right. Mine was number three.
It's showtime.
All right. Number three, you know who spray painted graffiti all over the gym floor when the principal asks, if you know anything, you A, tell him who did it.
Snitch.
B, tell him you don't know who did it. C, tell him you think you saw some guy with dark hair, but you can't be sure.
That's
Once
trouble.
Again, what is the path of least resistance here where
you
I'm not
going
to get any grief from the principal? I'm not going to get any grief from somebody who did it. And let's be honest, somebody who did that is going to also beat the living shit out of you if it gets back to you. And that's the main reason why I just say, I don't know who did it.
My name's Paul. That's between y'all.
Status quo, as far as I'm concerned. It's just like, I didn't know now. I don't know then. I'm not going to know in the future. Please don't involve me.
Yep.
This guy's name is Chris Hansen, and he's going to beat the shit out of me if he finds out that I snitched, even though morally, ethically, I really want to tell him he did it because as school property, and you don't ruin school property.
What if you said you didn't know, and then you went to, what's his name, Chris? What'd you say?
Chris Hansen.
The host of to Catch a Predator?
Oh, name, but I knew a Chris Hansen in high school, and
had a Chris Hansen, yes.
But
Hansen had a Chris Hansen, I think.
He had a short temper and big muscles.
Anyways,
he listens every week, Dave, so. And you just broke his heart. So would you then go to Chris Hansen and be like, yo, so here's what happened.
No.
The principal came up to me.
As little interaction with. No, there is a class of person in high school that you just interact with as least as possible, including eye contact, cafeteria proximity, making sure you go out of the entrance that the bad kids don't use because that's nearest the smoking corner of the parking lot. There is a whole strategy to avoiding the shop class people that you employ throughout high school to keep you alive and well so you can go home to your loving parents.
What about doing group work projects together, Dave?
Oh, you always group with your friends.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you got stuck somehow, I do believe in our high school, we always got to choose. I don't think it was like an arbitrary pairing, which is actually kind of weird because you think they would pair good students with shitty students more often just so they can get a taste of success. but they didn't. So we would always just stick together and then the bad kids would clump together and just never do the project, I assume.
Right, right.
There are no such thing as bad kids, just bad decisions.
Okay, Pam.
Listen, this is where I'm raising a new generation.
Well, one day they're going to discover otherwise, and I'm going to say, Mom.
Also, just before you make your point, Pam, I feel like we could do a whole separate bonus episode just about tales of horror of group work, because is anything worse? No.
No.
Telling me you think you saw some guy with dark hair, but you can't be sure is a great one if some guy with dark hair really deserves a roughing up from the principal in your life. And you're just like, like that's the powder keg too. Like, oh, I don't know. I think it was that guy over there. And then that'll show. I'm not ballsy enough for that. But in these days, that's what you'd want someone to do.
So much of my high school experience was just avoiding danger. Like I tell you guys, there's like why I think about things like on Extra Hot Great, the idea of toilet strategy always comes up because I'm always thinking about like how just to minimize grief in my life.
Yeah,
and it kind of all stems from just being kind of frightened all the time in school, like baseline low fright, you know, of everything. And just like thinking about the worst case scenarios or just like bad case scenarios and just being proactive and avoiding them also plays into making sure you always have somewhere to poop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a park dog. That's what you sound like. You're like dogs walk in, they look around, they check the perimeter, they stay out of the little dog section or the big dog section, depending on what kind of dog they are, and then make sure they have a safe place to poop.
System works. Tara.
Number five. The checkout chick, don't care for that phrasing, accidentally gives you $10 too much change. You A, hustle out of the store before she realizes her mistake. B, point out the error. C, tell her she gave you $5 too much and keep $5 for yourself. I believe I picked, I know which answer Dave picked. I think I picked point out the error, but the actual answer is hustle out of the store before she realizes her mistake or I realize her mistake because I'm just cramming shit in my bag and getting the fuck out. Not because I'm trying to do anything dishonest, just because I don't pay attention and I want to go home.
I would definitely, okay, once again, answering as 16-year-old me at this time, totally keep the money then because money, so little of it's coming my way. Oh, yep. Bonus money.
Yep.
Now I would definitely point out the error knowing that people just have to pay out of their own pockets when that shit happens at retail because it's a terrible experience.
Yes.
I love the idea that there is an answer. It's like, eh, you win, you lose. You gave me $10. I'll give you $5 back. That seems fair. It seems equitable. You made this terrible mistake, but I'll cut your losses in half.
Yeah, that's for your 20s or early 30s. Like teenage years, you keep the cash.
You've just taken a philosophy course and you really want to apply this theoretical thinking to this retail transaction.
Yeah, you don't want anyone in a lot of trouble, but you also don't want to lose your win.
Yeah, around this time, we were required to like sign up for duties of like selling stuff at the canteen during like basketball games or whatever at school. And I fully stole from the cash at that place. Absolutely. So,
that's a different level. Well,
I'm just confessing.
This is mad money that's come your way. You're just stealing, Tara. Yeah. And pretending it's the same thing, which is troubling.
I'm not pretending it's the same thing. I'm confessing. I'm unburdening myself. I thought this was a safe space.
What did everybody score? I'll go first. I got middle of the road this time, which is 11 to, to 20. Not too honest, maybe not honest enough. Right in the middle, average Joe. Here's $5.
I was in the, you're possibly honest to a fault. I was in the lowest level of honesty.
I also got right in the middle, and I feel like, Dave, that means we passed this test. That's the one you want. You're hoping for pretty good. Pretty honest.
Got a couple of calls, quiz related. First, let's listen to the one about the quiz we just took.
Hey guys, it's Jill from the Chicago area. I just took the honesty quiz. I got 0 to 10. You can probably count the number of lies you've told on one hand, maybe even half a hand. A lot of these questions, I feel like, aren't so much how honest are you, but more like kind of a friend are you. The one about your friend says she's spending the night at your house so she could hang out with her boyfriend. If you agree to that arrangement, you're not going to tell the mom. The one about you caused an accident in your dad's car and one of the options is actually tell him you must have blacked out because you don't remember anything. I feel like that's going to be opening just a whole different can of worms that you don't want to get into because were you drunk? Better option would have been act like you don't notice it. When he brings it up, like, what? What do you mean? That would have been a better option.
Tara, when you totaled your dad's car, did you consider the blackout excuse?
Did you just say totaled?
Yeah. Every time we talk about it, it's going to be a little worse.
When you died in your dad's Dodge Diplomat.
Yeah, when you wiped out your neighbor's family during that time where you totaled your dad's car.
Did I consider saying that I had blacked out? No, but I did what Jill said. Well, what? I just pretended I didn't know, which was not credible.
But she's right about the quiz. A lot of this is how true blue of a friend are you?
Yeah.
Especially that one where obviously the answer is, for me anyways, is you say she's in the bathroom.
She'll call you back.
And then you buy time to call her and let her know the situation. Yes. And then let your friend deal with the actual execution of the excuse.
E. McClure. To me, this isn't how good of a friend are you. It's like a gut check question. And I think that no matter what I have said, to cover for my friend, which I like, I'm not the person that you call for that. I would maybe be like, and then I'd find my parents and be like, so here's what's up. I don't know what to do. I wouldn't find my parents. I don't know what I would be just pacing with terror if my friend was getting busted saying she was at my house, because it definitely means I'm in trouble. And I didn't do anything but stay home.
Everybody's situation may be different, like, but the parent-friend dynamics were, like, you can never really get in trouble by your friend's parents. There would have to be, like, friend to you, to your friend's parents, back to your parents' transfer of communication.
Correct.
In order for you to get into trouble. And I feel like the kind of things like this, I feel like you can put a firewall there relatively consistently, so you usually wouldn't get into trouble.
Okay.
This never happened to me, of course.
No, me neither.
So I'm speaking out of my ass, but I kind of feel like there's a lot of nodes that information has to travel through. And if you have, like, lazy parents on either side of that, or a friend that just doesn't give a shit, the line, the telegraph can stop at that pole.
Hmm. I wasn't convinced by your argument until you said nodes.
Let me tell you about my nodes.
We also got a call about the November quiz. Let us hear that.
Dave, Tara, and Pam, you have said since the beginning that we should keep your phone number programmed into our phones in case we needed to call and yell about anything.
720, sassy go. Mm-hmm. Put it in your phones right now. Give me a minute. 720, sassy go.
And I thought, oh, haha, when will that ever happen? And then today, I was listening to the Slumber Party episode that talks about the perfectionism quiz, and I needed to call and yell because this perfectionism quiz entirely misunderstands the concept of perfectionism. Whoever wrote this quiz is merely a casual perfectionist and doesn't understand that a true, utterly psychotic perfectionist like myself would never sew a button onto anything, because I will never be able to do it exactly right. So instead, I will stare at the button for a very long time, understanding that if I tried to sew it on, it would be crooked, it might be upside down. I'm not very good at sewing. And so instead, a true perfectionist hides that sweater in the closet and goes on and spends their time doing something that they're very good at and can do perfectly. I don't understand why sassy people don't know this. Thank you.
Stop living your life in fear.
Well, I said I'd do the sweat jacket.
Sweat
God,
jacket.
Sounds terrible. Even as I said it, I was like, that's not a word. What are you doing?
Although I will say, we've seen some photos of people's sweat jackets in replies on Twitter, and they pull it off, but I don't want to read the word sweat jackets anymore. It sounds like a particularly nasty kind of wasp. Oh no, don't go into that forest. It's just swarming with sweat jackets. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is approaching, I could not do it well, so the lesson is never try, which is different than perfectionism.
You keep trying to get it right, Dave. Just let it be.
Acting, method acting is what that was. It wasn't a flub. Perfect.
Let's get into our other calls. We got a few about teen life topics. Let's hear from Lindsay.
I just had to call in because as someone who lived in various towns in Arizona, in the Phoenix area, and is married to somebody from the hills of Arizona, I can officially tell you, Arizona is the worst. Y'all are not wrong. It's terrible. Stay away. Love the podcast. Have a good one. Stay away from Arizona.
All right. That is an honest call. The other calls where they're saying, oh, my hometown that you bagged on, Dave, is the best, are all lying.
But you did hear she was calling from hiding under a bed from the state of Arizona.
Yeah, I think she called and then she hung up. That's how I knew she was Lindsay. And then she was like, sorry, that was me. Anyways, Arizona sucks ass. So, all right, let's hear from Nicole.
Hi, this is Nicole in Albuquerque. I just wanted to let you know that I actually knew the answer to the question of whether a douche was a liquid or a gel. The reason I knew the answer was because of a joke I heard as a little kid. Did you hear about the big car wreck on the freeway yesterday? Yeah, a big water tanker crashed right into a tanker full of vinegar. The sound it made when they hit was doosh. Thank you. Listen to Sassy. Bye.
That is straight out of truly tasteless jokes. That's the kind of thing I would have read as like a 7-year-old and been like, hilarious. I have no idea what that means.
Exactly. That's the kind of joke somebody would tell to me when I was a kid. And I would laugh at it because I didn't want them to think I didn't get the joke. And I'd be like, oh, I think I just heard a bad joke. I better go home and expunge that from my memory.
Yeah, who was giving truly tasteless joke books to kids? Because I definitely read them when I was too young and would be like, something about a Greek person having sex with a sheep. And my dad would be like, do you know what that means? Like, do you get why that's funny? I still don't. I just know that's a stereotype because of truly tasteless joke books.
Those
they
books.
Were in a lot of...
Yeah, exactly.
I think Dave and I are going to say the exact same sentence.
A lot of bathrooms?
Yeah. A lot of toilet
a
talk.
A lot of bathrooms. They were in a lot of bathrooms.
You go over
you
your friend's
go to your
house
parents'
with the
friend's house.
Oh my God, you go over your friend, your divorced dad's friend's house, and that's like he's got three of them stacked up on the decker.
Yes. It's like in a nice basket, a nice wicker basket next to Reader's Digest and a service merchandise catalog would be truly tasteless jokes. I forget sometimes when we have the calls that come in what we talked about. And so I was like, why is everyone has a call about douches and our garbage? And then I'm like, because we earned
mustard
it.
Douche. Yeah. Mustard douche.
Well, let's clear our palates, as it were, with this call from Kathy about her public service. Clip 5.
Hello, Tara and Dave and Pam. I absolutely love your podcast. Thank you for doing this. Listening to your episode where you mentioned a group of teenagers in Kansas City who have an AIDS hotline. I was on that hotline. I used to volunteer for that hotline. It was called Teens Tap, T-A-P. I think the T-A-P was Teaching AIDS Prevention. And oh my God, the crazy calls we used to get. I mean, just imagine you're a perv, maybe you are, and you find out that there's a hotline, and it's free, where you can ask a teenage girl or boy to tell you how to put on a condom and ask them to repeat it multiple times. I think you can imagine where this is going.
People ruin everything.
Or is it something positive for someone that came out of the AIDS crisis? It's really a matter of perspective.
For who? The perv?
For the guy's getting his jollies on.
Yes, by all means.
A limited audience, but I'm just saying, let's look on the bright side.
Okay, let's do. Let's switch to our calls about pop culture topics we have discussed recently, starting with Taylor.
Hey, Dave and Tara and Pam, it's your pal, Taylor. Listening to the pop culture of December 1988 episode, and loving all the Tom Waits content, but when you did the Leonard Cohen on One Side of the Street saying it's closing time, and then couldn't think of an equivalent Tom Waits song, guess what? Tom Waits also had a song, nay, an entire album entitled Closing Time. It is his 1973 debut and really sort of established him as a sort of like gravelly voice Sinatra earlier in his career before he would sort of go on to that Heart of Saturday Night where he kind of swankified things a little bit more. Before then, 2 years after that, moving to after Nighthawks at the Diner, a sort of pseudo-live album, which really should have broke the mold of what a studio project could be. I'm just trying to annoy Dave by talking for a long time about Tom Waits. Anyway, closing time could have been an option for both. Bye!
That bye is my favorite part, because he knows he's torturing you. Who is Taylor to you, Dave?
Taylor is the host of the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show and is the most savant-y pop culture savant that I know. The shit that he can pull out of his brain during the quiz at a moment's notice that is unrelated to the question at hand is kind of amazing. And frankly, troubling.
We also heard from Christine.
Hi, this is Christine from New Jersey. And I'm just calling because...
That's New Jersey.
No!
Okay,
oh my God.
You came after Tom Waits. It came after Leonard Cohen, like little knives to my heart. And then just to like pour some lemon juice on the wound, you went after my state. Not a fan. But the main reason I'm calling is, Tara, how'd you miss your joke? Tom Waits wrote the song Jersey Girl, the Bruce Springsteen song Jersey Girl. Come on, guys, it's right there.
You think I know facts about Tom Waits? I do not. More about the music of New Jersey in clip 8.
Hi, this is Dave. My wife, Kate, and I listen to your show while we make dinner. And earlier tonight, we were completely thrown
Hang on. I just got to replay that. One sec.
Hi, this is Dave. My wife, Kate, and I listen to your show while we make dinner. And earlier tonight, we were completely thrown out of our normal discursive chemistry by the fact that you guys were singing a Bon Jovi song and played Harry Anderson's name in it. And it's been a couple of hours and we're still singing it to each other. And I wanted to, I guess, thank you for that. As someone from New Jersey, I don't necessarily appreciate everything that you said about the state. But I do agree with everything you said about Bon Jovi, the band. I guess it all comes out in the wash. If we're still singing about Harry Anderson to the tune of Bad Medicine in a week or so, you'll hear from our attorneys. But for now, thanks so much. Hope everything is good by you. Thanks for the podcast.
Dave.
Oh, I won't dox him, but that is one of the Daves we know. So I think that's why this Dave felt free to ruin his lovely call.
But what I want to... But getting back to the original content.
Get it up. Do it.
Getting back to the original content of this call.
Yes.
Why is he so angry at dinner? Just listen.
While we make dinner.
He's not. He does have a lot of quotes around it. Like he's being forced to make dinner with his wife.
Doesn't.
You just know who this person is. I don't. So I understand, like, when he's like...
Well, we were DMing about it on Twitter, and I was like, call the hotline. So he may have felt pressured by me to do that. Are you all right? Is everyone all right to proceed?
We should move on.
Harry's Anderson. Okay, let's talk about beauty topics, starting with Kim.
Hi, guys. This is Kim from Syracuse. First of all, Dave, I eat vegetables under duress. When you were visiting us, I like to treat my guests to wonderful delights, which to me does not include vegetables. But that's not why I'm calling. I'm calling because you guys were talking about perfume. As a young teen, I was really obsessed with the idea of having like a signature scent because in my mind, then when boys smelled that scent anywhere, they would be haunted by thoughts of me. And so what I chose as my first signature scent was Love Baby Soft, wait for it, lemon, which meant I was walking around smelling like Pledge furniture polish. So I wore that for a long time. And then when I was a little older, there was a perfume called Exclamation. I feel like Debbie Gibson was somehow involved. Maybe she was in the ads for it or something. But, man, I had the whole set. Like, I had the perfume. I had the powder. I had the lotion. The whole thing. And then when I got older, I graduated to a perfume that you couldn't buy at the local CVS. You had to go to a department store. And that was called Sunflowers. I have to look online and see if I can get some of that because I feel like one whiff of it would be, like, a whole sense memory for me. I feel like all three of those are very evocative of the time period and hadn't thought about them for a long time. So thank you for bringing up that lovely memory for me of my perfume history. And then I just stopped wearing perfume because who cares?
Just a couple of corrections on the perfume tip. You're thinking of Electric Youth, which we talked about on the show. That is the Debbie Gibson perfume. Mm-hmm. Exclamation, which we heard in the intro. The person you're thinking about is Famke
Janssen.
Janssen, yes, and that is. And on the whole vegetable thing, she sounded as angry about that as Dave.
Dinner.
Yeah.
Don't isolate it. Oh, you're making it worse.
Christ. Dave's got a shit list over here I'm keeping.
So. Kate's never going to call now, and she's the one who actually likes the podcast, so way to go, Dave. Anyway, my friend Jody from band, of course, she was an exclamation wearer, and I don't think she had this whole suite like Kim did, though, but I definitely remember that. And Kim's description of it is like wanting boys to be haunted by the memory of your signature scent is like, yep, exactly. Yes. And you know what gave us those ideas? Sassy Magazine and other magazines like it.
And Calvin Klein commercials, because I was an obsession person, and I wore also Escape, which I learned, stopped wearing the day that someone made fun of me for calling it Escape. And then he was like, as in it used to be a cape, but now it's not. That's the perfume you wear. And then he sat behind me, so that went on for months.
It's a good bit.
Sometimes you can haunt someone with your signature scent, and that person is yourself.
All right, let's hear from Kelly.
Hi, this is Kelly from Rhode Island. I was just listening to the fashion episode and thinking about caboodles. And then I saw that they were selling them again now. So I bought one, I bought a little hot pink one, very 80s, very exciting. And now I keep my knitting stitch markers in it because I'm super cool now.
And they are very versatile. You can keep all kinds of stuff in it, sewing supplies. I mean, knitting supplies, like Kelly said, or you could, mm-hmm. you know, if you like to do art, you can keep your brushes and your pencils in there. Caboodle. Mm-hmm. We are not sponsored by them, but we would be willing to do a live ad read if they want to reach out.
That's right.
Let's hear from Robin.
Hi, this is Robin from Toronto. Long time, first time, yada, yada, yada. I just want to make a quick point. I know this might be a little dated at this point, but if you really, really do want to set your makeup, hairspray is actually brilliant. Take that aerosol can, put it on your face. It will seal your makeup right in there. Nothing moves all day. It's horrible for your skin, obviously. But if you're going to like a wedding or something with an all-day affair, get that can of hairspray and shellac it to your face. It's brilliant. I did it at a wedding this summer when it was blazing hot and I was sweating all day. Makeup did not move. Perfect. Hairspray is next level. That's all. Just wanted to share.
Oh,
that was a cut monologue from Steel Magnolias. little known fact. Robin did it excellently.
Yeah, that, I mean, knowing what my hair feels like when I use hairspray on it, the thought of putting it on my face, where all my features are, including my eyes, is terrifying. Let us hear our final call. Ever, apparently. Okay.
This is Jamie in Alabama. Front Porch Kelly is my sister. I just heard you guys say that you could shave your legs in a downward motion, and I am in my mid-40s, and I did not know about this. Is this real? Are you guys just, like, messing around with this? So anyway, I thought, what if we did, like, a Listen to Sassy leg shaving challenge and, like, do one of your legs down and one of your legs up the way God intended, and then, like, take a picture and, like, you know, this is where I'm at with the pandemic. leg shaving challenge. So anyway, thanks for your podcast. It brings me great joy every week. And Michael McDonald forever.
Oh, twist.
We did not make up this leg shaving twist. I swear to God, I've read it in fashion magazines ever since I've been reading fashion magazines. And the reason they always say is if you're trying to fight razor burn, you shave with the growth of your hair instead of against it. But to me, that makes when I've ever did try it maybe once, you did the shave was not as close. But Pam, when we were talking about it last time, says she shaves down and then up, which is like, I have things to do. I'm going to go one way.
Well, I tried your one way this week and I was just looking to see if you could still see all the places I cut my shin open, just being like, up and done, everybody. Nobody's got time for,
You're not painting your leg, Pam. That's not the way you do it.
It was awful. It was awful. But I do want to say, Front Porch Kelly and Leg Shavy Jamie, you're my two favorite people that call this podcast on the reg.
Yeah.
Please never stop.
Yeah, this is what you all could be having with your best friends who don't necessarily live in the same town as you. Tell your friends to listen to the podcast, and then you could both call in and have a dialogue with your voicemail messages that you leave for us.
Question.
Yeah.
So shaving down, which I assume for most of us is the way the hair grows, you know, because of gravity and everything.
Yes.
That is a safe but not as close shave as going up, which obviously gets a little bit more hair, but then you run the risk of like ingrown hair. So it gives you bumps. Is that basically the gist?
Yes.
And cutting your leg open like a carrot. This is how my mom described was going to happen to me, or I read it somewhere or something. I have a very, very vivid memory of skin coming off of razor blade from shaving.
Okay, well, we just lost all our subscribers because that's horrifying. But I don't understand why shaving down is any less likely to make you cut yourself. It's still a blade against your skin.
It's just an experience. It's just not, you're not
yeah.
sense memory, you know, and the muscle memory of shaving. You're just used to it one way. That's all.
Yeah, I think up, you're going to be like,
well, that's just because you're used to shaving down.
It's not because of like the anatomy is somehow.
Sorry, why are we in such a fight?
I don't know, but what I want to know is Kim Reed more or less vegetable prone now that she's heard this whole carrot shaving analogy from Pam?
Yes, you put her off vegetables forever.
We had her. She was starting to eat her vegetables like a good girl, and then Pam, you ruined it.
We ring in the new year of 1989 with our coverage of the January issue, starting with its teen life topics. Catherine talks to three guys whose girlfriends got pregnant, and not the girlfriends. Christina goes on an outward bound trip. Find out who won the first ever Sassiest Girl in America contest, and much, much more. For my plug this week, I was on the podcast This Had Oscar Buzz with our friends Chris File and Joe Reed talking about Never Let Me Go, which partly takes place in a bleak, dystopian, alternate reality 80s and 90s. This podcast came up because we talked about Spike Jones. That's This Had Oscar Buzz everywhere you find podcasts, and we will also link you to their website in the show notes.
Don't forget about our holiday drive. If we can get that first stretch goal, you will not only get some watch-alongs with us and your fellow listeners, but we will also give to you a drunk episode. Details TBD, but I can tell you this much, one of us will be drunker than the others. All that is available at listentosassy.com/club. Thank you if you're already a supporter, and if you love this podcast, please consider joining up there. Speaking about there, you can find us at Listen to Sassy on Twitter and Instagram. Pam is at Pamela Ribbon. Tara is at Tara Ariano. And you can find me on Instagram at David T. Cole.
And if you're having not just FOMO, but actual Mo listening to this episode and wish that you could be a part of it, you can call 720-SASSY-GO and leave a voicemail of your own. And we might play it on a future episode. Won't it be fun to have Dave shred you? You can find out more information about this podcast and visual aids for our episodes and contact info in case you weren't paying attention or fast-forwarded through whatever Dave just said at listentosassy.com, which this time I totally understand why you did it. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next year. What? In sassy time.
Dinner.
Bruce Springsteen can sing about anything, but he's just really got to go.
Now America. We're gonna get hate calls about that.
I'm just saying, once you hear it, once you know that Bruce Springsteen has never not been constipated, a lot of things start making sense about Bruce Springsteen.
I think of it similarly. I think of it as he has to go, but like he has to go. Like he doesn't want to be here anymore. So every song is like, every lyric is he's on his way out. Like
he's doing a pee-pee dance? Is that what you're saying?
Well, he's just like, he's done like, with this. In the USA. Yes. Yes.
That was good podcasting. Me doing it.
It was great. It's a visual medium.
I'm sorry you won't get to see my pee-pee dance, but it was really great. Trust me.
Whatever you think it was, it was.